Radio Tres Golpes Podcast.
I'm your girl, Belkis.
Eva.
Y yo, Kaira.
And this week, we are super excited to introduce Alejandra Dueñas. She is a Peruvian native living in Colorado. She's a holistic life coach with over 10 years of experience in the topic of self-growth, self-development, and spirituality. Alejandra's mission is to elevate human consciousness through the process of healing mental addiction, living in the present moment, and tapping into your soul's purpose. So please help us welcome Alejandra.
Hey, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm honestly so excited to jump to be on this call with you guys and just like, it's like a friendly chat with you three. I'm so excited for what's to come. This is going to be a good episode.
I think the timing couldn't have been any more perfect. For this season, we wanted to talk about mental health. As you know, that includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It often affects how we feel, how we act, and how we handle stress. So for this episode, we really wanted to make sure that we were doing our due diligence in having the conversation in a very healthy and safe way. And that's why we were excited to hear that, you know, that is something that you're very passionate about and something that you have so much experience in. I think this will give us the opportunity to have this conversation in a very, you know, unapologetic way, in a very honest way, and in a way where we can walk away feeling guided and feeling like we have resources and things to walk away from to help us on our journey to, you know, a much healthier mental space. So thank you for joining us and thank you for reaching out and letting us know that this is something that you wanted to do, not only, you know, with us, but for our community as a whole. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited. We're going to talk about some really good topics, especially within the Latin community. So I'm so happy to be here.
When did you first start having conversations about mental health?
Yeah. So kind of like you guys, I know you guys were also sharing that, like, there was a point where you guys didn't even know what mental health was. And I feel the same way. I didn't know what mental health was until maybe I would say the past 3 years where I started realizing that this was a thing. Before, like when I was younger, I would definitely feel like not so great. I think we'll dive into this a little bit later too, but like I dealt with a lot of depression at some point in my life. And it was like so intense to the point that like I didn't even consider living anymore. But even then, like I didn't know that that was like a mental health issue. I was just more focused on the fact that it was something that I was dealing with. And I didn't know how to work through it. I don't even think I knew if it was normal or not. I just knew that I was dealing with a lot and I didn't know who to tell about it, which is a big thing with mental health, that it's mental, right? So a lot of people can have no idea what's going on inside. And I think that was big time what would happen to me. Like when I started hearing the word mental health more, like I realized that when I was going through depression and I was at my low point, no one knew, because I've always been this like super happy, like always giving advice, always positive person. So no one knew, right? Like you could be the most positive person and have like so many things going on internally for you. So I hope this answered your question, that like mental health was not a thing. Like I didn't know about it when I was severely dealing with mental health issues. But I see the word coming out a lot more within the past 3-4-ish years. And I'm glad that it has. And I'm glad that now I'm a coach that helps people with mental health, because it's a serious thing. It's something that needs to be worked on. And not enough of us know that we can ask someone for help and get help and guidance. Because usually, like if I think of myself when I first was very, very depressed, I didn't know that I could just ask for help and someone could help me with my depression. I just thought I needed to deal with it on my own. Or I thought that I was just like really sad some days and I would just cry. And like, I thought that was somewhat normal. Maybe I thought I was just something going on with me. So I'm glad that the word mental health is coming up more and more. There's so many more coaches now helping women and men with mental health.
Alejandra, yeah, I want to second that. I think the power of words is extremely huge these days. I myself had a similar situation like you. I didn't know that back then that's what it was happening to me. You know, like I didn't know it was mental health issues that I was going through and stuff like that. So now that we have these resources and these words that we can like identify and define what we were going through, it makes it like, oh, wow, like that's what it was. I also didn't learn about mental health until I was like probably in my 20s. And that is like super crazy, I think, in itself. I also like didn't really pay attention and really didn't really hone in into what it meant into like maybe 2 years ago, and I'm 26 years old. So I knew about mental health issues. I knew about depression, anxiety, like surface level, but I didn't really know what that meant, you know, and how that affected people, like really 2 years, like in a span of 2 years ago. So, and I think that goes a lot to say about our communities and how our communities have for a very long time made the mental health arena like this huge taboo that if you're in there, you're kind of crazy. Like, oh, esa está loca, or oh, it's so anxiety. Ah, no, you just need to relax. You know, like our community, I come from a family that if you said you were depressed, they were like, no, ponte a barre, like do something else, distract yourself with something. So I think it made it a little bit more impossible for me to actually learn the meaning of it. And that's why I like now I do my best to kind of like read upon it and like be very open to what it is, because I feel like I'm like years like of learning what it truly is, because I didn't growing up. So
yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think it's especially like in Hispanic communities. I think the reason why it's so quick, you know, family members can be so quick to be like, oh, like, no, you're depressed. Like, don't worry about it. Like, just move on, like go clean the house kind of thing, is because I know that at like root level, they're doing it from a loving space. They're like, don't even worry about it, like move on. And I think that's the culture that we're so used to, I guess, experiencing, or like we're so conditioned to ignore our feelings and kind of just keep moving forward. Right. So we might feel depressed one day, and then we're like, okay, no, we can't feel like this. So let's go out and hang out with friends. Let's go get drinks. Let's do something that's going to make us happy. Let's not address what's going on. And this is huge because it happens with everyone, that the more you ignore the actual situation that's going on inside, it's like a snowball effect. It just keeps building up and building up until one point something happens and you're just going to explode. You're going to have an outburst because you've been holding on to all these emotions, but not actually addressing them. So then you just explode when it finally comes up. Right. So I get that like Hispanic communities, and I'm sure other communities too, like are coming from this place of like, you know, they don't want you to deal with it from like a loving space. So they're like, just put your mind into something else. But that kind of conditioning that we've had has not been healthy for us, because then we're never dealing with the issue. And then we don't know how to work on what it is that's going on inside. And in regards to mental health, it's mental, meaning anything that is in relation to our thoughts, right? If we're overthinking a lot and undecisive and doubting ourselves, we have mental health issues. If we are overthinking a lot into the past, whenever we're thinking so much about the past and being, that's what causes depression. When we're thinking about the past because we can't really change it. And then what causes anxiety is thinking about the future. Like you're so anxious, you want to control so many things in the future, which you can't because no one can, right? Then we get we get anxious, and that's where the mental health comes. So a lot as you guys know, it's called mental health because a lot of things are happening at mind level, which means that in order to heal from anxiety, depression, overthinking, we need to really dive into what's going on in your mind and kind of like recondition your mind, because it's so used to now obsessing over the past or obsessing over the future. It's so used to ignoring the feelings and then moving on to something else. It's so used to so many different patterns that are not healthy. So in a program like mine, what we focus on is like kind of like rewiring your mind again, because now you have to realize that, no, you have to address these issues. And like, no, you can't keep dwelling on the past or in the future. You have to actually live the only moment we ever have, right? Which is our present moment. So yes, I know I just gave you a big explanation to that, but I can totally agree. You know, mental health is huge, and I'm glad that we're even talking about it now, because I'm sure many of your listeners will listen and kind of realize like, oh crap, I have mental health issues too. I need to work on this.
And I appreciate that you define what mental health is, because I think a lot, like Boke said, I didn't know what mental health was. I didn't even know that word. Like, why are we talking about mental health? Didn't grow up and nobody told me, oh, you maybe needed to rest a little bit. You maybe need to focus on now. So I appreciate that you give that so well thoughtful explanation for those people that maybe are now understanding or learning about the mental health or trying to figure out what's going on in their mind. But something that, you know, I would like to know is, how do you know that you're in a space that you need to ask for help for someone that just learned about mental health right now?
Yeah. So I think it's not really getting to a point where you should ask for help. You should just ask for help, if this makes sense. So like, to put it into perspective, you can one day start to feel a little bit sad and then within a year be fully depressed. And maybe when you're fully depressed, you're like, oh, okay, I need to ask for help now because I'm fully depressed, right? But if you were to have asked for help earlier on that one day where you were feeling a little bit sad, it could have actually been a lot more helpful to you if someone came in and addressed that there and there with you, so that it wouldn't have led to depression, right? And of course, if any of your listeners are at a point where they are super depressed or super anxious or overthinking and doubting themselves, then yes, this is 1000% a time to ask for help. But even if you're feeling a little bit of it, like, it's still time to ask for help, right? Because I think the biggest thing is that we all think we can figure it out on our own. Like, I know that when I was depressed, it's crazy because when I had a lot of depression, like, I grew up in very much of like a self-development, self-growth, spirituality kind of family. So I was reading like all the self-growth and all the self-help books, like, since I was in high school. So like, I could give anyone great advice and I knew all the things, but I wasn't actually implementing them myself. Right. And that's what I used to be so great at that, like just knowing the things, but not actually doing them myself. So, you know, even when I was very depressed, I was like, I knew what I had to do, but I couldn't do it for myself. So I think the biggest concept that we need to understand is that sometimes we can't hold ourselves accountable, and it's okay to have someone that can help you. It's okay to have someone that can help you show up for yourself. And it works. Like, when there's someone that you have to show up for, there's like this beautiful statistic that shows that, like, you are that much closer to getting your goal achieved if you have someone if you have an accountability partner. You're like 98% closer to achieving any goal that you have if you have someone that you can check in on a daily, weekly basis. Because in a way, this is just part of like how we are as humans. It's kind of like that teacher aspect where we feel like we have to have like a good grade or like show up for the teacher and be good to the teacher. You know, it's like we're showing up for ourselves, but we also don't want to disappoint the other person. So we feel more of that like responsibility to show up, because if we're just showing up for ourselves, it can be very easy to just not show up. So it's like going to the gym, where Monday you say to yourself, I'm going to start going, you know, every single day. And then Monday comes and then something happens and maybe you just don't go. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, there's no one holding you accountable, right? So you're just like, okay, well, I'll just stay home. And you can try again next week or next month or next year, because there's no one that's kind of like there to support you. And not only that, it's not just about the accountability part, but a lot of people who are going through mental health issues, you don't know how to get yourself out of it, right? Like, if you're depressed, how do you stop being depressed? If you're anxious, how do you stop being anxious? And you can read all the books in the world, which is where I was going with this too. But unless you're actually taking action, it's not going to help, right? So even though I knew all these things and read all these self-growth and self-development books, I was depressed and no one would have thought that. And that was because I wasn't applying any of the things that I was reading. So, you know, you should ask for help, because yes, you can pick up a great book, but if you're truly committed to taking action, then reading that book is not going to do you any service. This is where I always preach that knowledge is not power. A lot of people think that knowledge is power. Applied knowledge is power, right? Because unless you're taking action and applying that knowledge, then it really means nothing. Like, you can sit there with all your knowledge, but it's nothing unless you're embodying what you know. So yeah, I hope that answered that.
I love that you mentioned one way to help someone or help yourself is using kind of like an accountability method. But I wanted to ask how something that I've struggled with is how can I be supportive to a friend who might need me when they're going through like any mental health problem, but also it not coming at the expense of my mental health?
Yeah, I love that question. That's such a good question, especially when it comes to friendships. Because first of all, it's crazy that like, even with our best friends, sometimes we don't tell them all that's going on because we feel bad about like dumping all of our like emotional mess onto them. So we're just, it's easier to just be like, oh, like we're doing fine. Like everything's good, rather than sharing all of that. So there's this big difference with having just an accountability partner that's like a friend versus an accountability coach, someone that's actually going to hold you accountable. There's a difference because an accountability partner, right? Like if it's a friend, she might have her own issues to deal with, right? So yes, she might check in with you on a weekly basis, but she has her own stuff to deal with. And she's not, you know, she hasn't gone through some sort of certification or something to really guide you in the best ways that she can, right? So yes, she might help you show up, or maybe like it's an accountability partner, like let's say to go to the gym every day, right? But when she has her own issues, you know, she might not be there for you as much, right? And same way, you know, backwards. So like if you have your own issues, you may not be there for the other person as much. So it's really important to, I mean, accountability partners can work, yes, but it's important to seek professional help, like seeking help from a coach, for example, who literally is getting paid to show up, to make sure that they're giving you their best energy, so that you can show up in the ways that you want. And someone like with me, for example, like one, this is in relation to your question, one of the biggest things that I get asked all the time is like, how do you coach so many women? And like, how does it not affect you? You know, because I hear from women's abuse trauma, so many different like deep stories that can impact someone big time. And it's funny, and it's not funny, but like in the saying, it's funny because it doesn't really affect me. Not from the point that like, I don't care about these women's lives, but it doesn't affect me because I've worked on myself so deeply that if I see someone dealing with trauma, for example, I'm not saying that I'm heartless and I don't care about their story, but I'm more focused on the point that they're going to be at the end of their journey, right? So I'm more focused on like, okay, yes, you're dealing with trauma right now, but I'm more focused and excited about where you're going to be later on, right? So that brings me joy. That brings me excitement, knowing that like, that's my focus. I'm not going to dwell on the sadness. We're going to work on the sadness, and then we're going to get you to this amazing point. First, ask what kind of help she's looking for, right? Because sometimes people aren't looking for your advice. Sometimes someone just wants to just share something with you, right? So be honest with them and say like, hey, are you looking for advice, or do you just want to be heard? And I have these days too, where I'll just go to my friend and I'm like, I just want to like say all these different things. Just hear me out. I'm not looking for advice. I know what to do, but I just want to like let it out. Right. So sometimes it looks like that, right? Meaning that it won't affect your energy level if you realize like, okay, I don't have to do anything. I just have to hear her story. And maybe just give her a hug, support her. And that's that. Right. But remember that you are responsible for your emotions, which is a big one. We're so used to saying like, oh, you make me feel this way, or you hurt me, or you make me feel misunderstood, or you make me feel this and that. And no one can make you feel anything. You, the one thing that you have full control of and are responsible for are your emotions, right? So before saying like, oh, you made me feel this way, remind yourself like, no, I allow her to make me feel this way. I cannot allow that to happen. So I can protect my energy. So focus on protecting your energy. You can protect your energy and still help someone and still be there for someone. So these are all things to take into consideration with friendships that you want to, you know, if you want to be there for a friend, first of all, communicate, say like, hey, do you want advice, or do you just want to be heard? If you can't give advice, or you don't feel called to, just be honest and say like, hey, you know, all I can do right now is hear you out. I don't know what to say to you. Like, I don't know what advice to give you. And I hope you can understand that it's coming from a loving space, right? Because if you're going to dwell on her pain, then nothing's going to get solved. And you're just going to stoop down to that level. But if you can say, well, this is where you can be if you ask for help. And wouldn't you want to be in this level of being your highest self, the best version of yourself, and not sticking to this victim story, right? Because another conditioning is that we're so used to being the victim of like, all these things are happening to me. right? Rather than all these things are happening for me.
Thank you, Alejandra. That was really insightful. I think that's one of the difficulties also with navigating through mental health is how do you support yourself, but also how you support others? Because we're constantly, you know, in relation to people, whether it's professionally, personally, you know, with family, whatever it may be. And it kind of goes back to what we mentioned earlier. Oftentimes, these weren't conversations that we were having. And so now it's important that we call each other out, hold each other accountable, support one another so that we can continue to nurture these spaces where everyone is talking about how they feel, how they're doing mentally, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it may be. I know that for me, it was really difficult to come to terms with the fact that I was struggling with anxiety. And it was because of that, because no one around me was ever talking about experiencing feeling anxious. So I'm like, okay, so like I'm either making this up in my head or everyone's dealing with it too, and they're doing just fine. So I should just be doing fine too. So it was nice and refreshing. It was still difficult to, you know, deal with anxiety, but it was much, I felt like a sense of relief when my friends and I started talking about like, oh, you feel like that too. Oh, that happens to you too. It helps me feel like there isn't this sense of like otherness. Like, you know, you just feel supported. You feel like you're not alone. And I think that's really important when it comes to having, you know, these conversations about trauma, like experiences that, you know, have been a little dark or that you felt alone. So, yeah.
You got it. Thank you so much for sharing that. The first time I got a panic attack, I thought I was having a heart attack. So I remember calling my fiance and be like, we need to go to the emergency room now, like right now, I'm having a heart attack. And I remember walking down the stairs, getting in the car, like, homeboy is lost on why I'm running down the stairs to get into my car. And I'm just like, you need to drive. My heart is going so fast. And then after I got in the car, I think just because I moved my body and I went down the stairs, I started to calm down. And I was like, oh my God, this is a panic attack. But I didn't know how to put into words that I was having a panic attack. So then when the pandemic started, I started having them very intense and more frequently. But now, because I knew how I felt, like when I get them, it's basically I'm sleeping. And then in the middle of the night, I just wake up and I feel like I'm choking, like I need air and I don't have enough air. And then I go through like the whole, like my heart is beating very fast. I get chills and I shake. And now I'm able to, I know I'm having them and I know, and I'm in a very traumatic situation, but I'm able to talk to the people around me and letting them know, hey, I am sure I'm having a panic attack, but I just need to let you know, because I need someone to know that I'm having them so I can relax, that I know that someone is there in case something goes very wrong. And I remember that I was to a point that I was like, you know what, I just want medication. I don't get them that often. I only got them twice, but I don't want to go through this. And the moment that I get them, I want to take a pill and that's it. I remember I called my doctor. I was like, I'm having panic attacks. Give me medication. Give me something. And I only took the medication for 1 week because it didn't sit right with me. One, because in my culture, we just like, I don't feel like Dominicans are not like, oh yeah, go take a pill if you feel sad. We don't do that. And there's a big taboo around medication and around taking anything that will make you feel a little bit better, because they just don't understand. So Alejandra, do you have any opinions on either taking medication or you think we should take a more holistic approach? I know that didn't work for me. After 1 week, I was out. But wanted to know from you if you have any, you move one way or the other when you do your practice.
Yes, totally. So to first talk about these different words, right, that you guys didn't know about, like anxiety and panic attacks. Yes, I say this to so many women too on calls, that like you're not alone, because everyone thinks that they're alone. Everyone thinks that they're like this crazy person dealing with all these issues, and they're not. Like the women that I coach all have these same issues. So that's like one of the first things that I share with women. I'm like, you're not alone. I'm in the process right now of jumping on a lot of discovery calls for my next round. So in every call, I have a woman just bursting out crying in these calls. And then she feels so bad. And I'm like, trust me, like I'm used to it. Every single call, I have women crying. You know, it's so many things that are bottled up inside that we don't really know how to address. So with friendships, I encourage you all and the listeners to reach out to your friend and not just be like, how are you? Because it's so easy to answer that and just say, I'm fine. But ask like, how are you doing mentally? Like, how are you doing in school? Or how are you doing at work? Are you happy with your job? Like, asking deeper questions that are going to get them to open up a little bit so that then you can talk to them about similar things, right? And the most important part, like I mentioned before, is to not dwell on all of these issues, because that's just going to create like a big bubble of like anxiety and depression, but instead cheer each other on of like, okay, like where do we need to be now? Like, what do we need to do to get better? That's really important. When it comes to medication, to answer your question, Ava, it's so crazy because I know you just mentioned like in Dominican culture, like it's not a thing to use medication, but I think in Peruvian culture it is, because I grew up with like my mom taking so many different pills, like just laying out her table of like so many different medications because she had so many different issues. And even like not only here in the US, but even when we lived in Peru, like cousins, family members, every like aunts, they all would just have so many different pills. Like a pill was like the solution to everything. So I guess it's like, or go ahead.
So I do want to clarify something for my Dominicans out there so they don't make fun of me. We do take medication for everything. Like every time we get sick, we take antibiotics, but we never talk about mental health medication. Yeah. So be very specific about that. I think we just don't talk about it. And then there's a big taboo around that specific medication.
Okay. Got you. All right. Perfect. Well, yes. Okay. So then maybe it is in Hispanic culture to just like take a pill for any issue, but not address what's going on. Like for me personally, and I don't know if this is with everyone, like in Peruvian culture, but definitely with my mom, like my mom dealt with a lot of depression. So I always knew she was taking depression pills, but like, because I didn't know what depression really even was, I never even asked her like what's going on in your life. I just thought she was just really sad, so she'd take a pill to make her less sad. So anyway, my stance on medication is that I think that medication is really important in some way. So I think, again, another conditioning, especially I think as Americans, and maybe I think just in every culture, we think that as soon as we have an issue, we just want something quick. We want something fast that can solve the problem. We don't want to like do the heavy work. So it's easier to just take a pill and it just takes away the anxiety. And who wouldn't want that, right? Like in reality, we all wish that we could just get over our problems like this with like a magic pill. It's like the idea, I know I've been talking about the gym so much here, but it's like the idea of like wanting to lose weight. Like everyone wants to buy these like weight loss pills because we, you know, you just want to be skinny and, you know, not have to deal with going to the gym or eating healthy. But as you, if any of you have taken weight loss pills, you know that that is not the case. Like you're not just going to be magically skinny by taking these pills. So with medication, one thing that tends to happen is that the more we start taking all these different pills and medications just for things that can really be worked on in other ways, we're just, remember that medications are all man-made chemicals, right? So yes, they help you with whatever you have internally, but a mixture of all these man-made chemicals that you're putting into your body on a daily basis with years and years and years, you know, it's only going to have a huge impact later on for you in your health. Like it's going to in the long term, it's going to affect your health with like chronic issues. I truly believe that the huge high rates of cancer and all these different chronic issues is due to the fact that we're so used to just taking all these different chemicals for every issue that we have rather than dealing with things on the inside. So I do believe that medication is necessary at some points. But if you can work on it in other ways first, then do it, right? So if you want to go take anxiety medication, before you do it, just think about it for a moment and maybe go to a therapist, go to a coach like me, hopefully, and work on these areas of your life first.
When I came to terms with the fact that I was struggling with anxiety, because I've been struggling with it for long enough to know that when I started to be able to identify, you know, exactly what it was, you know, when I was in college and we were having conversations about mental health, one of my fears was to get diagnosed with it, because I felt that immediately the solution, or the only solution, was going to be to take medication. And I didn't feel comfortable with taking medication for it. I started looking for therapists that wanted to take a holistic approach to dealing with anxiety or depression or panic attacks or whatever it may be that patient may be struggling with. And there's a lot of therapists that think just talking through things is a solution. So, and it's helped me a lot too, with overcoming just my anxiety overall. But I did struggle with trying to find a therapist that I could identify with, or that could identify with me as one, a woman, and also as a Latina. I think a lot of the root of a lot of the things that I go through really come down to culture, like just the way that I was brought up. And those were some things that I didn't want to have to explain to somebody. I kind of, not that I had the expectation for them to fully understand, because everybody's experience is unique, despite, you know, whether we come from the same island or not, but just certain things. Like if I'm talking about microaggressions, that wasn't something that I wanted to explain, like, oh, like what is that, or what does that feel like? I just wanted to kind of be able to be in a space where I can just talk about those things and not feel like the person that I'm talking to couldn't understand me.
So Yokaida, I totally understand what you mean with therapy. One thing with therapy, like when I was very, very depressed, I didn't seek my mom, because I was young. So my mom sought a therapist for me. And I honestly was such like at a resistant point with the therapist, because I think that therapy in some ways, and depending on the person, can also be very transactional, right? It's more so on just like, here's some questions, you answer those questions, and it's like, okay, see you the next session, you know? And then it's like, it depends on who the therapist is, right? So I'm not going to like say that this relates to all therapy, but for the most part, it can be very transactional, especially if a therapist has like hundreds of other different clients that they have, you know, constantly. You know, it's harder for them to put a little bit more heart into your situation. It can be, not in all situations, but I know when I had a therapist, I just did not click with this person. She was much older than me, so I felt like she just also didn't get me. Like she didn't get the issues that I was dealing with. I felt like I was talking to like a mom kind of situation, and I didn't like that. And I could see that it was just like her asking questions that are just on a piece of paper, and yes, I would answer them, but it was kind of like, I felt like therapy was kind of like journaling out loud, right? But I didn't feel like it actually helped me work on anything, more so than just like it helped me express what I needed to out. And then my sister actually sought a life coach for me. And at that time, I didn't even know what a life coach was. But I did it. It was physical sessions, kind of like therapy, but it was completely different. We dived into so many deeper concepts about my emotions, about my family, about my parents, about so many different areas, where I wanted to be, what my purpose in life was. And it was just a completely different experience. So I can totally understand, you know, for the listeners who are looking for help, if you're going to go the therapy route, don't give up. Like, don't just go for the one person that you find. Make sure that it is someone that you can feel really connected to. You know, like Yokaida was saying, she was looking for someone that is Hispanic, so she wouldn't have to explain all these different cultural issues that she was dealing with, right? Like, be sure to find someone that you can truly resonate with. Don't just get that first person that, you know, that you see, because it is important, like, you feeling comfortable around the other person is 1000% important, because if you don't feel fully comfortable, then you're not going to open up as much, right? That is one of the biggest things that's worked on within my program, is that I'm there to like make sure that I'm giving all my love, all my support. Not only that, also asking the questions that are going to dig a little deeper. Like, I remember having not even one, I've had many clients in the past, but I remember one client telling me, she went through all kinds of abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, just emotional abuse, anything, any kind of abuse, and all the kinds of trauma that she went through. And she told me, she was like, I have seen so many therapists, but no one ever asked the right question. So no one ever knew that I was dealing with all of this until your program, where you actually asked the right question and got me to open up more, right? So sometimes it takes, you know, finding someone who is really going to ask all those right questions to help you identify what's going on internally. Because I know for me, when I had my therapist, I could have just answered the questions that she was telling me, and she still wouldn't know what was really going on inside, because either I didn't feel comfortable with sharing, or she just wasn't asking the right questions to probe a little deeper. So for anyone listening, as a conclusion, be sure that you are, you know, seeking someone that you can truly relate to, that you can truly see as putting their heart and soul towards helping you out. And it isn't something that's just like transactional, like, hey, I just want your money. And then, you know, we move forward with a few sessions and then that's that. I think that's really important. So thank you, Yokaira, for mentioning that.
Alejandra, yeah, like I'm a total newbie when it comes to this mental health stuff. So I literally, like, listening to you today, I've been like eye-opening. It's been eye-opening to like really like listen to you and your little tips and tools that you have given us today. I really want to know more about your program, because you have sprinkled your program throughout. Can you tell us more about your 3C methods? How? ¿Qué es lo que tenemos que hacer to get better? Porque mira, en esta pandemia, we are struggling. We're in the struggle bus. And when I tell you que necesitamos toda la ayuda que tú no puedas dar, mira, go ahead.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love when you guys speak in Spanish with your Dominican accent. It's so beautiful. I love it. Okay. So what my program is all about. So my program is called the 3Cs method, and the 3C stands for consistency, confidence, and control. So I came up with the name of this because I think those are the three biggest, they all start with the letter C. So it worked out, but I think they're the three biggest things that women are dealing with. One of the biggest things that I've realized too, aside from just anxiety, depression, overthinking, what we've talked about so far, is that so many women lack confidence. They don't really love themselves. They don't feel good enough. They don't feel worthy enough. They don't love what they see when they look in the mirror. So confidence was a big word that I needed to work on within my program. So that's one of the C's. The other one is consistency. Because that's the thing that most of us need help with, right? Showing up every single day, bringing back the gym reference that I've been bringing up this whole call, is like going to the gym every single day, not just like once a month, right? So being consistent with your goals. And then lastly, taking control of your life, because it can, when we get to this point of mental and emotional health, it can really feel like we're just existing rather than living. Like we're just going by with the motions of everyday life rather than truly soaking it up and being present in our life. So taking back control of your life is so important. So this program is aimed to help women who are dealing with trauma, who are exhibiting toxic patterns, who have mental or emotional wounds. We work on healing all of that so you can take back control of your life with consistency and confidence.
Alejandra, thank you so much. Like so much. I think all of us, you can see our faces. We're just like, whoa. We learned so much, but there's so much more that we have still to learn and to grow. And I think your program is perfect for anyone that is trying to take that first step. Take the first and the final step with you, basically.
Anyone is feeling called to jump on a call with me and learn more about the program, feel free to go. Definitely, not even feel free, definitely follow me on Instagram, because whether you are in my program or not, all that I post on Instagram is support. So every single post of mine is helping you with support in any area. All of my stories are giving you mini trainings for free to help you with all areas, mental and emotional health. So you can go follow me on Instagram at Alejandra Duenas _.
I know I've struggled a lot. With asking for help is probably one of my biggest defaults. I'm also very good at like just making it better and like, oh, making a joke to make a light of a situation that shouldn't be funny. And I think that comes with a lot of the stigmas and taboos in our culture. So I can definitely see this episode being like eye-opening to a lot of people that tend to do that, because I've been sitting here like this the whole time, like, wow, this is a personal attack on what I do. So ask for help. And I feel like sometimes we don't know how to ask for help, but jumping in a call with somebody that is willing to listen to us, I mean, it doesn't get easier than that. Like, let's not overcomplicate ourselves so much that we don't jump on this call with somebody that is offering free resources, you know? So thank you for being available. Thank you for doing that for our community and everybody else, because we need it. God knows we need it.
Thank you so much, Belkis.
But before you leave, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on all streaming services like Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter
@ Tres Golpe Podcast.